This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. The state of California on Monday voted to extend its cap and trade program until 2030, leading Governor Jerry Brown to declare a major victory and claim credit for making progress on climate change. The bill, AB 398, was also supported by Democratic Senate President Kevin De Leon, one of the more progressive lawmakers, as well as some Republicans. The cap and trade program essentially imposes a cap on carbon emissions in the nation's most populous state, enabling corporations to buy and sell the rights to pollute. While the measure is being reported as a major success for climate justice, particularly when it compared to the inaction and even regressive climate measures at the federal level, it turns out not all environmental groups are happy. Food and Water Watch, along with a number of leading environmental organizations, have denounced the extension of cap and trade, calling it an industry giveaway. My guest is Adam Scow. He is the California Director of Food and Water Watch, and he joins me now to explain why he opposes the extension. Welcome to the program, Adam.
Having me.
So first, can you lay out the history of the cap and trade program? It used to be called emissions trading, and I understand that it was essentially a program that was founded in collaboration with free marketeers and some environmental groups, right?
Yeah, cap and trade is a big compromise with the industry. It allows polluters such as power plants and refineries to pay for their pollution as an alternative to actually having to reduce it outright. It got started in this country dealing with acid rain from coal-fired power plants. And back then in the late 80s, actually Republicans embraced it as a preferable alternative to making polluters actually reduce their pollution by requirement. But if we're going to solve this climate crisis that we're in, we need to quickly get off of fossil fuels and get carbon dioxide emissions and methane emissions down rapidly.
So what about the history in California itself? What I mentioned that Jerry Brown has signed into law that a majority of the legislature passed was an extension to the year 2030. Does that mean that cap and trade has been in effect in California so far? And if so, has it actually done enough to curb pollution, to curb carbon emissions?
It hasn't done anything. It was put into effect in 2012 formally. It was authorized by Schwarzenegger's signing of AB 32 in 2006, but cap and trade formally went into place in 2012. Since Governor Brown has taken office in 2010, and since cap and trade was put into place in 2012, emissions have not been shown to go down, hardly at all. And there's no evidence that cap and trade has worked at all. Cap and trade has raised some money. Governor Brown is really pushing his bullet train and wants cap and trade fees to go to that. In terms of reducing pollution, there's no evidence cap and trade has done anything.
So the extension of this cap and trade program, which essentially enables corporations to buy the right to pollute, I understand, if you look at sort of mainstream news coverage, it's being hailed as this big victory for the climate. I suppose in contrast with what we see at the federal level, maybe you can see it that way. Is there any way that what just happened in California with this extension, that it's better than nothing?
No, it's actually worse than what we already have. Hmm. There's already problems with the cap and trade system. What this extension did is it gave more allowances to pollute for the industry. It prohibits local air districts from enacting tougher regulations on greenhouse gases. It's a huge problem in Los Angeles with all the refineries and power plants, also in the Bay Area. The Bay Area was actually considering enacting its own cap, and now they are prohibited from doing so. The oil and gas lobby helped write this bill. So in Washington, where we have President Trump, who wants to exempt all oil and gas companies from regulations, in California, Governor Brown and the leadership simply check with them first and let them help write the regulations.
So what you're saying is that the extension of this cap and trade program to 2030 also means that until 2030, localities, cities cannot enact tougher regulations to address climate pollution because of this?
Absolutely. It's a very bad bill. It's very dangerous.
What can they do? I mean, is this then the ultimate that California has achieved in terms of addressing climate change?
Well, this shows how corporate Democrats and corporations are very powerful in the state, and you see it on other issues as well. When you looked at what just happened on single payer, there won't even be a vote on the Disclose Act to give greater information to who's paying for political ads. And progressives, real progressives who want to win real issues, need to get organized, and they need to get involved in local and statewide politics in a much greater way.
So, even progressive Democrats, such as Kevin De Leon, I understand, very much supported the extension of this cap and trade program. How did that happen? Did they get some support from some environmental organizations? Obviously, not yours.
Oh, it happened by Governor Brown using all of his political capital and getting party leadership in line. Yes, there were a few environmental groups who did support it, went along with it. Most of the industry was all strongly in favor. The Chamber of Commerce, the gas utilities got a tax break out of this bill. That's Edison, PG&E, Sempra, SoCalGas. We're all strongly in favor of this bill. But over 50 of California's leading environmental and environmental justice organizations all strongly opposed the bill. My organization, Food and Water Watch, 350, Sierra Club, the California Environmental Justice Alliance all said this was a step backwards, and indeed it is.
I want to read to you and for our audience the New York Times' coverage of this vote. This is what one article from the New York Times said. Approval of the legislation, which comes as the legislature prepares to leave Sacramento for its summer recess, ensures that California will continue as a national leader on global efforts to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. It comes at a time when President Trump has moved to unravel many of the environmental initiatives put in place by President Barack Obama. Last month, Mr. Trump announced he would withdraw the United States from the Paris Climate Accord, an international effort to address global warming. This one paragraph is, completely in contrast with what you've been saying about the passage of this bill. How do you respond? What would you tell the writer of this New York Times article?
I would say the writer and other establishment media a little bit better. Just because Jerry Brown says, I'm a climate leader, doesn't mean he's actually doing the right thing. He has gotten so much leeway and so much praise just for saying climate change is real. And certainly we have a president who's totally off the cliff on this issue, no question about that. But that doesn't mean what Brown is doing here is actually going to help or is good. And so it's disappointing to see that type of journalism that is not at the substance of what is happening. Jerry Brown has refused to ban fracking. Jerry Brown has fired regulators who have attempted to hold the oil and gas industry accountable. And now Jerry Brown is letting the oil industry write our climate policy. That is totally unacceptable. And it is not that much better than what is going on in Washington, D.C.
And it's a real
Both
pity.
are failing their people.
It's a real pity because there has been so much hope that in the face of the real attack against climate policies, climate-friendly policies in Washington, D.C., that states would rise up to the challenge, that cities would be able to come through, that on a local level we could make up for the inaction and the worse action at the federal level. California has often been cast as a leader in this sense, and you're saying that that's not true. I mean, it's kind of devastating to hear.
Well, and so California has done some good things. There's no question about that. And the California people and the American people, we need real action to avoid climate disaster. And the craziness in Washington has been, in a way, helpful at creating a worse and a sense of urgency. Now we got to get a little smarter and more sophisticated about what policies are actually going to solve the problem. Cap and trade is not a good solution. What just happened here in California is cap and trade at its worst, but there is a fundamental contradiction in cap and trade. It is as much about raising money as reducing pollution. And the more money you raise off of it, especially to buy political favors, the harder it will actually be to reduce pollution. The crazy thing is, Sonali, Brown was threatening command and control regulations, which would require polluters at the source to reduce their pollution. He threatened business and industry and all politicians to get on board with his bad cap and trade plan. Otherwise, he was going to actually force polluters to reduce their pollution, which is exactly what we should be doing. So we have a lot of work to do.
So essentially, businesses and the industry, the fossil fuel industry, didn't, you know, they helped to write this legislation. They were consulted for this legislation and then supported it. I suppose we shouldn't be surprised then that Republicans came on board as well. And the Times tried to cast California Republicans as setting themselves apart from, you know, congressional Republicans at the federal level.
People can make up whatever narratives. Maybe there's some truth to that, but it's not that important when it comes to the reality of, are we actually going to reduce pollution? Now, California is the second largest greenhouse gas emitter in the country after Texas. The Los Angeles Air Basin and the Central Valley, thousands of people actually die from bad air pollution here. Thousands more get sick. And now it doesn't really seem that the state is going to take cleaning up this problem seriously. In fact, what's worse is that this is somewhat of a farce. And all of the mainstream media is saying, oh, California's a climate leader, Jerry Brown's a climate hero, when we're actually passing a policy that won't do much and could actually see increased pollution because of all the additional allowances for the industry to pollute.
Now, Brown isn't just happy about California passing this. He's presenting this cap and trade model that California has adopted to other states and even other nations. He traveled to China, where he met President Xi Jinping to talk about the need for a global cooperation on the climate. He's pushing this model pretty hard beyond California.
Well, this is the this cap and trade plan is totally consistent with neoliberal corporate and multinational corporations. Let's buy and sell and trade pollution credits around the world. There's a market for that. In addition, there's offsets, which theoretically but dubiously reduce pollution elsewhere. You see very phony schemes and bad schemes where private companies are pushing off indigenous people off of their land in South America to create some supposed pollution benefit, while refineries here get to keep dumping carbon and other dangerous pollution into our air. So cap and trade, and you see the embrace of cap and trade by China is perfectly consistent, is the climate plan for the big corporations, and they are okay with it. And Jerry Brown is okay with that, but that is not a solution to the climate crisis. It could just make things worse, actually.
So finally then, Adam, what is to be done here in California and even beyond if Democrats who are able to set themselves apart from Republicans as being the ones to tackle climate change, if this is their solution to doing it, what can be done? You know, do we have to wait till 2030 for this to come up again? I mean, it's already too late. 2030 is a long ways away.
We need to get off of fossil fuels by 2035 if we're going to have a chance at avoiding climate disaster. Progressives need to get organized, and we need to run candidates that come out of our movement who are accountable to us, not some party politics. And we need to put policy and people over party. And that doesn't mean people can't run as a Democrat. Maybe that makes sense in some places. But we need people to come out of our movement who believe in the agenda that we know is needed to solve these problems. And so 2018 and 2020 are where we should be focusing our attention right away.
Well, Adam, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Is there a website you can give out where people can find out more about the work your organization does?
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Foodandwaterwatch.org. We don't take any corporate money. Keeps us independent and just like you, Sonali.
Thank you so much for joining us, Adam. Again, that's foodandwaterwatch.org. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Adam Scow is the California Director of Food and Water Watch. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.